Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Jill. Welcome to our To Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much, Laura. I'm really excited to be here.
So excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Jill Paul. I'm an author of 11 historical fiction novels now, a lot of them about women from the 20th century who I feel have been marginalized or misjudged by historians over the years. And I want to write their story in fictional form and maybe give them their dues in the 21st century.
So tell me, how did you get started? Like, were you a history buff growing up, or was it women's history that inspired you? Like, what was the seed of inspiration to get you into this market?
Right. I have to mention my mum here. She loved history, and we used to watch historical dramas on the TV together. And then I would borrow her books like Georgette Hare and Jean Plady and all the big Regency Kings and Queens of England series. And from there, I guess I studied history and English and literature at university. But after that, it was a struggle. I got a job in publishing. I worked in art book publishing. And in the evenings and weekends, I was scribbling my first novel. And I was just really lucky, I guess, that in 1999, a long time ago, I sent it out to agents. I got taken on by an agent and I got taken on by a publisher. And so my first two books were published. But, and this happens with most authors, the journey is never smooth and straightforward. Mm-hmm. So my first two novels were published and got decent reviews, but they just didn't set the world alight with sales figures. So I looked at the income from it. I thought, oh, I can't pay my bills with this. So I wrote nonfiction for the next 10 years, and I could get commissions to write about history and health. And I did some ghostwriting for celebrities as well. But then in 2012, it was the centenary of the sinking of the Titanic, and I'd written a non-fiction book about it, and my partner really pushed me. He said, go back, write a novel, you know this subject, write a novel about the Titanic. So I did, and that came out in 2012, and I've been focusing on fiction ever since then.
Gosh, I love this journey, because I love the fact that it was not like this linear journey that just it all was like, I got a deal and then I just start writing this, and this is
I know. I don't think anybody has a linear journey. You know, maybe a few of the really big ones. I don't know, J.K. Rowling or Stephen King, maybe. I don't know his story, but
Yeah, I love this. And so what fascinates you about the process of writing historical fiction? Is it the research? Is it just fictionalizing it? Is it the creating the story, the world building? What's the place where you're most fascinated for?
All of it. I love it. The research is just brilliant. The more you find out about a subject, the more you want to find out, the deeper you want to dig, and just looking for tiny little nuggets sometimes, you know, the single telling detail that will bring a scene to life. But I really like imagining what life was like for women in past ages. And, you know, that it does focus, you know, on how far we've come as women, you know, how many rights we've fought for or our ancestors have fought for and achieved, and what it would have been like to live without these rights. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying it's a kind of hardline feminist, you know, story at all, but I'm just very conscious of that, you know, things were very different when you're writing about people 100 years ago. Religion was more important, and, you know, women didn't have many rights. Married women couldn't open a bank account in their own names. There's so much they couldn't do without their husband's permission.
You know? Yeah, and I mean, in some ways, we still have some of those issues now, you know, it's fascinating. It's like, you know, how far we have come, and at the same time, how far we still have to go, you know?
It's true. I mean, I have what might now be described as a Me Too moment in the novel, The Manhattan Girls, that we're going to talk about. I mean, I don't want to include any spoilers here, but of course, in those days, 100 years ago, if something happened with a man, you couldn't go to the police, you couldn't report it, you just had to, you know, go home and get over it somehow.
Yeah. So let's chat about the Manhattan Girls. What is the elevator pitch?
The elevator pitch that my publishers came up with was Sex in the City, set in the 1920s, because it's about four women in jazz era New York. And these four women are all kind of incredible women to my mind. I mean, one of them is Dorothy Parker, just the renowned. She was already renowned as a wit when my story begins in 1921. There was Jane Grant, who was the first woman reporter at the New York Times, an incredible, strong character. There was Winifred Lenihan, a starring Broadway actress, and Peggy Leach, who at the time the story starts was the least successful of them. She was just working in advertising sales at a magazine, but by night she was trying to write a novel. So obviously I'm identifying with her in that. And these four women started a bridge group in 1921, and it's about their relationship with each other and how they support each other. And in particular, how the three others support Dorothy Parker, who was emotionally incredibly fragile. You know, she had this sharp rapier wit, and an emotional neediness that made her very, very vulnerable, particularly to the wrong kind of men.
Oh my gosh, I love this. And so, you know, what was the seed of inspiration? What led you to write about the 1920s, Sex in the City 1920s, you know?
I mean, the first, I just wanted to write about Dorothy Parker. I've always been fascinated by her. And I just think she's still so funny. Her wit still holds up today. If you look up Dorothy Parker quotes online, she says things like, if you want to know what God thought of money, look at the people he gave it to. And she just, and it, you could say that today and it's just as relevant as it was in the 1920s. She's brilliant. But, you know, there's some quite well-known, I think, parts of her story that are very dark, including suicide attempts. And so I knew that there was going to be this dark side to the novel as well, is because what I do with each of my characters, and in this novel, in Manhattan Girls, I try and get inside the shoes of each of the four women and show what their life was like and what motivated them and what supported them and kept them going through a very difficult decade. Because the thing is, life had changed so much for women after the war. They, all of a sudden, they could have fulfilling careers. They could rent their own apartments. They could drive cars. So they had these freedoms, but at the same time, they're still living in an incredibly misogynist society. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's all a struggle to try and have a decent relationship while having a career. It's something women struggle with more now, you know, struggle with nowadays, but they've got, you know, more legal rights on their side than Jane and Dorothy and Peggy and Winifred had.
Yeah, and it's a lot timely, you know, because a lot has changed, but I think in some ways a lot not has changed. Like 100 years later, we experienced some stuff similar to what happened in the 1920s to now 2020 pandemic, wars, you know, recession.
Very similar, very similar. Very, you know, parallel. With the pandemic coming at the beginning of the decade like this.
Yeah.
And also it's kind of scary financially at the moment that we've got this very high inflation, which is one of the things that led to the Wall Street crash. So
yeah.
I hope we're not going that way.
I don't know, but I think it's somewhat as a timely, you wrote a timely book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So, which is a good thing. So what are you working next? Like, what kind of time period are you exploring? You don't need to tell us like the specifics. You can just give us a hint.
The next one is from 1915 to 1945, and it's set in New York, London and Paris, and it's about two indomitable women this time, very strong trailblazers, not always incredibly likable. I mean, they've got likable bits, but you know, they also are very, very tough and very successful. And I like analyzing that and what made them that way. Yeah, it's great fun.
Oh, I love this. All right, so what kind of books do you tend to read? Do you gravitate towards, you know?
I read historical fiction mainly, and I read historical fiction about women as well. Occasionally I step outside my genre and, you know, read a crime book, for example, if it's really highly recommended by somebody whose opinion, or a contemporary, just if on recommendation, but mostly the ones that I dive into are you know, historical fiction stories about women's lives.
I love this. And so what kind of books would you recommend our listeners to pick up? What books would you recommend our listeners to pick up? Do you have any book recommendations?
Oh, gosh. I've just finished Maggie O'Farrell's The Marriage Portrait. It only came out last week. And I gobbled it down. I couldn't read it fast enough. I'm going to have to go back and read it again. It was so brilliant. You just have to find out what's happening in it. It opens with Lucretia, who's been born into the Medici family in the 17th century, has been married, and she's just a teenager. She's been married to the Duke of Ferrara, and he's taken her to this out-of-the-way hunting lodge. And as they sit over dinner, she realizes that he's planning to kill her. And this is the opening chapter of the book. And then it goes back through her life and what happened and why she ended up marrying him and the politics of Italy at the time in the Renaissance. And you're just behind this poor girl the entire time. What's she going to do? Now, it's based on a poem by Robert Browning called My Last Duchess, really chilling poem, in which he's showing a visitor around his gallery. And he stops at one painting and he said, "This is my last duchess, looking as if she were still alive." And that's just the line in the poem. And Maggie O'Farrell has invented this entire story from that and from a portrait of this particular woman. So, oh, I couldn't stop reading it. Sorry, I'm going on about it so much. It's just wonderful. I love everything she writes.
Oh,
there's another one I really recommend coming out September this year, I think, by Anne Ma, and it's called Jacqueline in Paris. Mm-hmm. Now, I've written a novel about Jackie Kennedy, Jackie and Maria, which was about her rivalry with Maria Callas for the hand of the Greek shipping millionaire Aristotle Onassis. But Anne writes about her back before she married John F. Kennedy, when she had a year in Paris. And it's just a beautiful book. It's like a love story to Paris, you know, with all the description of the places, the architecture, the food. But it also really gets inside young Jacqueline's head as she's, you know, her mother's desperately grooming her for a very prestigious marriage at that time. And she knows she has to do her duty, but she has a year of freedom beforehand. And she's just thinking of, oh my gosh, if she'd only rebelled, she could have had quite a different life. But I so recommend that one for sure. Wow.
That sounds so good. Love both recommendations so, so much. So Jill, tell us where you can find you online.
I'm on Instagram at jill.paul1. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at jillpaulauthor. And I'm also on TikTok, I think, because publishers are trying to encourage us to go on TikTok because of the huge success of people like Colleen Hoover and Taylor Jenkins Reid through TikTok. I'm not sure whether my readers are TikTokers, to be honest, but I've got an account there where I put up some videos. And now you're going to try and ask me the... I'm Jill Paul author, I think, on TikTok.
I love this, Jill. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. It's been absolutely lovely to talk to you.
Same here.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatyourwearenextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With LibraFM, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports the local community. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to squeeze more reading into your busy life. Listen with the free LibraFM app while you do your chores, walk the dog, relax at home. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen next, check out recommendations from people who know the best booksellers. The Watch Your Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on LibraFM for the price of one with your first month membership. Use code WATCHYOURNEXT. The offer is valid only for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What's Your Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatsreaditsblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.